Grace you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When I was a student back in college, we had a dance one weekend with a Hawaiian theme. So I thought it would be fun if I would go to the dance with a surfboard as part of my outfit. But I didn't have a surfboard, nor did anyone else in my suburban Chicago college. So I decided to make one. There it is right there. It's in my old bedroom back at home. I found a piece of paneling down by the garbage in the dorm, and I proceeded to trace out the shape of a surfboard on this paneling. Problem was, I didn't have anything to cut the paneling with. I didn't have a table saw, circular saw, jigsaw, no kind of saw whatsoever. But I did have a hammer, and I did have a nail. And so I proceeded to nail that nail into the paneling hundreds of times until I could break off the pieces of paneling to get the shape of my surfboard. Now, I know that sounds ridiculous and meticulous and like a lot of work for a silly dance. And it was. But the point is that I wasn't going to let the lack of a saw stop me from making my surfboard. I wanted to do it, and so I found a way. I showed that same tenacity in courting and marrying my wife. When I left my internship in Florida to go back to my school in St. Louis for my eighth and final year of studying to be a pastor, Pochelin and I had been dating for about 8 months. But now we were going to be 900 miles apart. It was actually 904 from door to door. And remember, this is long before FaceTime and Facebook and Snapchat and Skype and all these other great ways that we have to keep in touch now today. So I knew that if we were going to stay together, I was going to have to find some way to see her on a somewhat regular basis. And thus, once a month, for the entire fourth year of my seminary, I would leave the campus on Friday after my last class. I'd hit the road and make the 904-mile drive down to Gainesville, Florida, arriving usually Saturday morning about 3 or 4 a.m., grab a few hours of sleep, spend Saturday with Potch, go to bed again that night, sleep, get up Sunday morning, go to worship with Potch, and then begin the 904-mile drive back to St. Louis, arriving on campus about 2 a.m. in order to get a couple hours of sleep before my 8 a.m. class. And I did that once a month for my entire fourth year. Again, I know that sounds ridiculous and like a lot of work, and it was. But I was going to do whatever it took to keep our relationship alive. Because I wanted to marry that girl. One of my frustrations, we'll call it that, with folks today, and I'm going to hit especially the young people here, the millennials, sorry, is I think a lot of folks have lost this sense of tenacity. I hear too often why things can't be done, why they can't be achieved. Instead of just finding a way to do it. When my wife is in the kitchen baking and cooking or whatever, and she doesn't have the ingredients she needs to make what she wants to make, she finds a way. She substitutes other things and finds some way to still make an incredible dish. When the astronauts of Apollo 13 found themselves in this impossible situation up in space without the tools and the equipment necessary to get themselves safely back to this Earth, they, along with the scientists at NASA, found a way to make use of what they had on board their ship to do what they needed to get themselves home. And I'd be willing to bet that if you found yourself trapped on some deserted island somewhere in the middle of nowhere, that you too would find a way to set up a shelter and to start eating things that you would have never thought were edible before in order to survive. You see, that tenacity to achieve and to succeed and to survive, it's in each one of us. But too often it just stays hidden. In our epistle reading today, St. Paul talks about his tenacity in living out the Christian life. He states that he became all things to all men that by all possible means he might save some. In other words, Paul was willing to do whatever it took to be a winsome witness for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He goes on to describe this tenacious Christianity in terms of an athlete training for a competition who goes into strict training and who pushes himself to the limits in order to win the prize. I think you're probably aware, but in about, what is it, a week or so? Or is it this week? Starting pretty soon, the Olympics. Winter Olympics are starting. And we watch those athletes, and we know the kind of time and energy they have put in to being at the top of their sport in the world. And they do it to get a medal that they wear around their neck. But they have to do it in order to win. That's what it takes. That is how Paul is calling us and exhorting us to live out our faith. We are to work at it with all of our might. We are to read God's word regularly, pray fervently, love constantly, serve continually, sacrifice willingly, receive Christ's body and blood often. We are to work at our Christianity as if our salvation depended upon it. But there's the rub, isn't it? Our salvation doesn't depend on it. Our salvation doesn't depend upon how hard we work at our faith or how well we live it out. Our salvation depends on Jesus and what he did for us. The one who's already forgiven us of our sins. Already gone into heaven to prepare a place for us in our eternal home. Through his death and his resurrection, those things are already our gifts. Our salvation totally rests on his work and not on our own. And so, consequently, many of us become lazy in our faith. We give little. We serve little. And we do little. If you were in a class in which the teacher stated on the very first day of class that everybody in the class is going to get an A, doesn't matter how much time you put in, doesn't matter if you study or not, how good your homework is, you're going to get an A. How much effort do you think most students would put forth in that class? Very little, right? Now, I see one. I wouldn't do anything. Exactly. That's the way. We wouldn't. But what if that class was trigonometry and you knew that you wanted to be an engineer? What if that class was chemistry and you knew you wanted to be a nurse? What if that class was the Army's survival training course just before you were being deployed to a combat division on the front lines? Suddenly, it might seem kind of important to actually pay attention in class and to be tenacious about your learning, because you know that the information you receive there might be the difference between success and failure, or survival and not surviving. And so it is with our faith. You know, I don't need to work at my faith and to go into strict training in order to be saved. Jesus has already done everything for me. But if I want to make it through this life with my integrity intact, and if I want to survive the attacks of Satan, and if I want to be the light that points others to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I want to learn to be content in any and every situation, then I need to regard life in this world as a fight for survival. I need to work at my faith with everything that is in me, to read God's word, and to spend time with him in prayer, and serve others, and receive the sacrament of his body and his blood often. I need to do whatever it takes to know Jesus more fully and more intimately as my Savior. Not in order to be saved, but because I already am saved. And I want to give God the best of who I am, because he paid the debt for the worst of who I was. May we each thus live out a very tenacious Christianity, doing whatever it takes to honor the one who did whatever it took to save us. To God and God alone be the glory. Amen.